السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is my fourth lecture on the topic of Tawheed versus Trinity. In my previous lectures, I have talked about Tawheed first. Whenever it comes to this subject matter, we have to first work out our basics, and the basics, one of the basics here is Tawheed. So if a Muslim, before he criticizes someone who believes in the Trinity, he should first know why he believes in the Tawheed. And so I've talked about Tawheed, and why we believe in it, how do we define it, and there are five different arguments, such as the fact that Tawheed is a universal belief. All the major religions in the world, they believe in Tawheed. And then Tawheed is something that is evident in nature. And then on top of that, another argument is that it's evident in human nature. And we talked about it in the previous lectures. And then there's an inductive form of reasoning and a deductive form of reasoning that the Quran gives, and those references that are there that have been discussed in my previous lectures. Now today, we move on to the Trinity. What is the Trinity? That is the first question to resolve. We can't talk about the Trinity, especially when we talk to our Christian friends. We can't talk to them about the Trinity unless they can define it. What is the Trinity? So that is a big question that needs to be resolved before we can talk about it. The unfortunate reality is that most of the time, Christians are not able to give us a perfect definition of what the Trinity is. So you have to go to their scholars and their pastors, and they make different attempts to explain it. Sometime back, I had an opportunity to read a few books on the Trinity that talked about the Trinity. I couldn't find the reference, but if I can get it, I can share it, and maybe in a future lecture. But if you go through those books that are supposed to talk about the Trinity, if you go through those books, you will realize that even their scholars can't give us a perfect idea or a satisfying idea of what the Trinity is. There's one book that I read, it's more like a booklet, which is actually for the lay audience, you know, someone who doesn't know much about this. And at the end of that book, he said, you know what, a lot of people have tried to explain the Trinity. Some people come up with I don't remember the name of that plant which has three leaves. So some people come up with that. Some people come up with how water has three forms. There's the liquid water. There's these frozen ice. And then there's the vapor. And so people come up with these different things. But nobody has been able to explain the Trinity. So that's their conclusive statement. These are scholars. These are not ordinary people saying this. These are scholars saying that the Trinity cannot be explained. This is not something that we can explain satisfyingly to those who don't believe in it, right? And I even consulted this really big book. I think the title, if I remember correctly, is The Holy Trinity in Scripture, in History, whatnot. It has a long title. And it's a really big book that talks about the history of the Trinity, how this concept evolved. And it's written by Christians, and a very scholarly work. And even in that, when you really get into the depth of it, you start coming across really crazy ideas about the Trinity, right? You really come across these strange concepts related or associated with the Trinity. For instance, you will come across this notion that up to the birth of Jesus, there are three persons in the Godhead. But when Jesus is born, God adopted human nature. And by adopting human nature, he has now become united with human nature. Now God has two natures. One is a divine nature and the other is a human nature. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I was distracted a little bit, and so this is the second part of my lecture, so I'm continuing. I was talking about Trinity and how when we look at what Christian scholars have to say about it, and they're not able to explain it. So what is the Trinity? The Trinity is, according to the most common way in which Christian scholars would describe it, is that God is one being and three persons. God is one being and three persons. So they hold on to the concept of one God, but then they divide him into three parts. So these three persons, so they would say these are three persons in the Godhead. So there's one God. So one what and three whos, as some of them would say. One what is one being, three whos. Who are these three whos? One is God the Father, the other is God the Son, and the third is God the Holy Spirit. At least that's how most Christians who are not Catholics, at least that's how they would describe God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then, who are they really? Well, God the Father is not God the Son. God the Son is not God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit is not God the Father. So they're distinct. They are distinct. But at the same time, they're one. Right? And this is something that is called the shield of the Trinity. The shield of the Trinity. You can easily Google that, and there's a diagram there which has been part of Christian theology for a long time, and you can see that there, how they put all these three things together, right? And these three partners, or these three persons in the Godhead, are fully God themselves. So God the Father is fully God. God the Son is fully and completely God, and God the Holy Spirit is fully and completely God, but they are not separate from each other. They're still one God, right? So what they say is that these three persons are co-equal, co-eternal partners in divinity, or in the Godhead. The Holy Quran talks about this. The Holy Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 74, Allah says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَنْتَهُوا عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ لَيَمَسَّنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. They are surely disbelievers who say Allah is the third of three. Allah is the third. ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. Allah is the third of three. Those people who say that, they are surely disbelievers. Hazrat Mirza Tahir Ahmad, may Allah be his helper, has actually modified this in his footnotes on the Quran and said that they are surely disbelievers who say Allah is one of three. That's another way of translating. Allah is one of three. Then he says, there is no God but the one God, and if they do not desist from what they say, a grievous punishment shall surely befall those of them that disbelieve. So this is the Quran's condemnation, clear cut. There are two verses of Holy Quran that clearly condemn the Trinity, and this is one of them. There's another verse. This is in chapter 4, verse 172. Allah says, Ya Ahlal Kitabi, la taghlu fi dinikum wa la taqulu alallahi illa alhaq. Innama almasihu Isa ibn Maryama rasulullahi wa kalimatuhu alqaha ila Maryama wa ruhum minhu fa'aminu billahi wa rusulihi wa la taqulu thalatha intahu khayrun lakum innama Allahu ilahun wahid subhanahu an yakuna lahu walad lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard wa kafa billahi wakila. O people of the book, exceed not the limits in your religion and say not of Allah anything but the truth. Verily, the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, was only a messenger of Allah and a fulfillment of his word which he sent down to Mary, and a mercy for him from him. So believe in Allah and his messengers and say not they are three. Desist, it will be better for you. Verily, Allah is the only one God. Far is it from his holiness that he should have a son. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth, and sufficient is Allah as a guardian. So this is the Holy Quran's take on the Trinity, and hopefully in future lectures I will try to delve a little deeper into what these verses are saying. For this lecture, I've just put them in front of you, where the Quran condemns this belief in three. right? The Quran says practically what you're saying is that there are three gods. That's what you're saying. The Quran is calling out to them. A lot of time Christians would come across these verses and say, the Quran doesn't get what we're trying to say. There's only one God. Well, the Quran does get what you're saying. What you're really saying is that there are three gods, right? Or that God is one of three, right? And so the Quran is actually calling them out. And the second verse actually, which I just presented, it talks about Jesus, right? So the Quran is saying, what you're trying to do is trying to make Jesus God, and Jesus is not God. So let's stop right there. And so if Jesus is not God, then you cannot say three or one of three or three in one or whatnot. And so this is, and so you can consult these books. I mean, I encourage you to go to Christian pastors. You can talk to them, and they will have these explanations, some of which I've already shared with you. But even if you go into their books, I was talking earlier about one of the books where in the end of that book, right, these guys, there were two authors to that book. They talked about the Trinity throughout the book. It was 120 pages. At the end of the book, they said, you know what? People have had different ways of describing the Trinity. People have made different attempts. And most often, in fact, all of them have been declared heretics by the rest of the church, that these guys don't get it. This is not the right way to explain the Trinity. And the bottom line is, there's no way to understand the Trinity, right? And this is where the first argument that the promised Messiah alayhi salam has given, Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad alayhi salatu wasalam, has given in refutation of the Trinity, and that is that the concept of the Trinity is against human reasoning. It does not, it's not in tune with human understanding and reasoning, right? And I will get into that, into the details of that in my next lecture. My time is almost up for today, but just think about it. If the Trinity is really that important, if, for instance, the Trinity is true and God is really a triune God, as they say, three in one, then why is he making me believe in it when I cannot even understand it? Think about that a moment, that he has not made, God has not made our human mind such that we can understand something so basic as God being three in one, right? So human reasoning is the first argument that I would like to discuss, inshallah, going on into my next lecture as well. Human reasoning, the concept of the Trinity is against human reasoning. 1 + 1 + 1 is equal to 3, right? Or at least one plus, when you say God the Father is fully God, God the Son is fully God, God the Holy Spirit is fully God, when you combine them, they should become a more superior God. Why does that not happen here? It's a very simple question. And because this is against human reasoning, the concept, the way they are presenting it, is self-contradictory, and we cannot accept it. One last thing that Hazrat Mirza Tahir Ahmad writes in his book, Christianity, A Journey from Facts to Fiction, he says, yes, this is a mystery. Sometimes there are mysteries. Right? Christians would say, this is a mystery. Why can't you accept God as a mystery? Yes, God is a mystery. But at the same time, I cannot believe in something that is self-contradictory. There are two different things here. One is to believe in a mystery, and the other is to believe in something that is self-contradictory. I can say that, oh, the iPhone, I don't know how it's made. It's mysterious to me. But I cannot say that my belief is that that my iPhone is not just a phone, it is a fish that can swim in the ocean. That is a self-contradictory belief, right? I cannot, you know, say that. So we'll explore that a little more in depth in the next lecture, inshallah. For now, we'll stop here, and inshallah, we'll take this discussion on in future lectures. Jazakumullahu ta'ala.